content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Fran for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I have included information from the Forest Therapy Course Handbook, excerpts from Monica Schwartz, Life Out of Bounds 2017, information from the Chicago Botanic Garden, the book Ruby-Throated Hummingbird by Robert Sargent, and Your Well-Being Garden, along with my personal experiences and knowledge. As we go out in the garden on this July morning, the weather is sunny and quite warm. Perfect weather for some warm season vegetables. Tomatoes, peppers, okra, zucchini, and yellow squash are abundant now. So much so, you may want to share with your neighbors or hope they share with you. If you are actually going out on a July morning, be sure to bring plenty of water, wear sunscreen, a hat, and flat shoes. In order to assure your safety, you may want to take a companion, a cell phone, or a walking support. Today, our imaginary garden walk includes visiting the raised bed garden. It's along the sunny side of our garden. You will want to take a container to hold any treasures harvested this morning. If you need them, gardening gloves are also good to have. This raised bed, it's in full sun, so it will receive 6 to 8 hours of sun. Perfect for growing tomatoes. This raised bed has been built for adults to stand and garden at waist high. Interesting enough, raised beds can be initially built at whatever height is most comfortable for the gardener. A raised bed may be built as a permanent placement out in a garden, or near a paved area as a permanent structure, or on a rolling wheels for movement and placement wherever you need it. They may only be a foot or two off the ground. They can be waist high, as ours is, and even built for wheelchair and seated access. They are a versatile alternative for gardening. If a space is not large enough for a raised bed, well then, a container garden is a possibility. Last month, on Out in the Garden, we planted an imaginary container garden. That was a relatively small container. Today, our container, our raised bed, is much larger. As we approach the raised bed, we find tomatoes growing up their supports. When the tomatoes were first planted, a supporting structure was placed in the raised bed. As the plant has been growing, it was gently tied up to support its weight. Our raised bed is 3 feet across and 5 feet long. It allows access from all sides. With the width of only 3 feet, the gardener can easily reach in to care for the plants and to tie up the tomato vines as we need to do today. Tomato vines have a distinctive fragrance that easily identifies the plant for maintaining its care and harvesting the tomatoes. When harvesting a tomato for your salad or sandwich, hold the tomato in one hand and the vine close to the tomato in the other hand. Twist the tomato carefully. If it is ripe, it will separate fairly easily from the vine, and the surface of the tomato will give with just a bit of pressure. If it feels hard, it's not ripe yet. But some gardeners slice these unripe tomatoes, and they enjoy them as fried green tomatoes. You may have heard of this delicacy. What size and shape will you find on your tomato vine? Size varies a great deal depending on what variety of tomato you planted. There are really too many varieties to discuss all of them today, but discussing a couple will give us a good understanding of what we may encounter at the garden center. The staff at the garden center can assist you in choosing a tomato plant to transplant once you have an idea of a general variety that you like. If you like fat, round, and juicy slicing tomato, ask for Celebrity, Better Boy, Big Beef, or Early Girl transplants. A fresh sliced tomato is a delicious addition to any sandwich. Always use safe cutting techniques when slicing that tantalizing tomato. If you prefer small cherry or grape tomatoes, Sun Gold, Super Sweet 100, Mountain Honey, or Juliet make a great addition to any salad or just to pop in your mouth and feel the squish of that ripe tomato. Plum tomatoes are, well, they're really shaped more like an egg than a plum and are loved by many cooks when making their very own tomato sauce from scratch. They are harvested when they are a bit more firm than the slicers and the cherry types. Plum Regal, Mountain Crown, and Roma are good varieties to choose in North Carolina. You can grow a tomato plant in a container, making sure to supply reliable support. A couple of ideas would be Bush Celebrity, Better Bush, or Bush Early Girl. These are the lower growing bush types. You can grow whatever variety you want with a large pot and a supporting structure. It should be at least a 10-gallon pot, about 16 to 18 inches wide, that will hold most tomato varieties along with that supporting structure. Use container potting soil, and the container must have good drainage. Out in the garden, in our raised bed, there are Better Boy juicy slicing tomatoes and Little Sun Gold cherry tomatoes for picking. You can look forward to the fresh taste of our own homegrown tomatoes. Unfortunately, there is one tomato plant so tall that its support isn't holding it, and the plant has fallen over. This problem, it could have been avoided if we had known about the difference between determinate and indeterminate tomato plants when we were at the garden center making our transplant purchases. The bush-type plants we mentioned for containers were the determinate type of tomato. They don't grow as tall as the indeterminate type. However, they can still sometimes reach 4 to 5 feet. Indeterminate tomatoes are the vining tomato and can grow 5 to 8 feet tall. Knowing which type of plant you have will help in providing the correct support. We will need to attend to our plant by providing a taller and stronger support. While we are handling the tomato plant, we may want to use gloves and long sleeves. Some gardeners are sensitive to the stems and vines of the tomato plant. Itchy rashes can be the result of handling tomato plants. Some people not only have trouble touching the plant, but also eating the tomatoes, because tomatoes are part of the nightshade family. They contain an alkaloid called solanine, which acts as an insecticide for the plant as it's growing, which is great protection for the plant. But it can be a problem for some people who may have a sensitivity, both when touching or eating the nightshade plants. Some of the other nightshade plants include eggplant, peppers, potatoes, but not sweet potatoes, and okra. There are many benefits of eating the fruit of tomatoes if you are not sensitive to them, and it includes helping to reduce the risk of heart disease and cancer. They contain folate, magnesium, iron, tryptophan, and vitamin B, which help to regulate and enhance moods. You may have noticed that I use the term fruit when I just mentioned tomatoes. Yes, they are a fruit, not a vegetable. And you might ask why. Well, because fruits grow from the flower of the plant, and vegetables do not. Think of how carrots grow in the ground without a flower. They are a vegetable. Tomatoes grow from a flower and are fruits. In the raised bed, there is some ripe zucchini next to the tomato plant. The zucchini grows on a vine laying in the raised bed. We find their tubular-shaped fruits. Yes, fruits again, as they too are formed from the flower of the plant. Some gardeners pick young ones when they are several inches long, and other gardeners let them grow to 9 or 10 inches. We find a tender young one about 5 inches long and gently hold the zucchini in one hand and the vine close to the fruit in the other. We gently twist the zucchini to remove it from the vine. When we go inside, we will wash the tomatoes and the zucchini. This young, tender zucchini can be thinly sliced and placed in a salad bowl, along with lettuce and those yummy tomatoes that we picked. Add your favorite dressing for a healthy, fresh lunch. Zucchini is a highly nutritious, low-calorie summer squash. It has about 33 calories per medium-sized zucchini. They're rich in fiber, potassium, and antioxidants like vitamin C and lutein. It promotes heart health by reducing cholesterol and blood pressure. It aids digestion, supports vision, and helps regulate blood sugar. When we were purchasing transplants at the garden center for our raised bed, we didn't have a choice of zucchini transplants. We purchased the available variety to plant. If you find a choice for the best zucchini yields in North Carolina, choose a disease-resistant variety suited to the state's hot, humid summers. Top performers like Green Machine, Leopard, and Ford Hook thrive locally and produce heavy harvests, according to NC State University. While standing next to the raised bed and planning the repair of the toppled tomato plant, a beautiful monarch butterfly lands on our arm. We feel the light tickle on our arm and freeze. What a surprise and a gift of trust. There are several milkweed plants nearby. Monarchs arrive in North Carolina in April or May to lay their eggs on the milkweed plant. The monarch butterfly undergoes a complete metamorphosis with four different stages. Yes, I have included a bit of science as we did last month. It really helps in understanding what is happening with nature all around us. The adult monarch butterfly lays a single cream-colored egg on the underside of the milkweed leaf. The egg hatches after 3 to 5 days as a caterpillar or a larva, which only eats the milkweed. The caterpillar spends 10 to 14 days eating, and then he hangs in a J shape as a pupa for 8 to 12 days, and he forms a chrysalis around him, in which the caterpillar completely reorganizes into an adult monarch butterfly. Wow. The adult emerges, dries its wings, and feeds on nectar in your garden. We are so glad that we have milkweed and nectar-producing plants in our garden to support the monarch butterfly. We are now moving towards the flower garden. Some of the flowers growing right now are bee balm, sunflowers, cone flowers, and cardinal flowers. These plants attract hummingbirds. Several times while in the garden, a hummingbird has passed by, and the hum of their wings is a quick reminder that their feeder is close by. The familiar hum of their wings, it's due to the hummingbird being able to reach 50 to 70 wing beats a second. What an amazing and almost unimaginable feat. Hummingbirds get quick energy from sugar water feeders. Hummingbirds also eat insects and nectar from flowers and feeders. Supporting hummingbirds with a sugar water feeder is a very much appreciated handy niceness by these tiny birds. We can do that. Choose a spot with dappled shade, particularly during the hot afternoon. Direct all-day sun causes the nectar to ferment and spoil rapidly. Hummingbirds love to survey their territory, placing the feeder within a few feet of thin tree branches, shrubs, or a dedicated hummingbird swing. Yes, they do exist. Gives them a place to rest between sips. Avoid placing the feeders deep within the overgrown dense bushes where neighborhood cats or other predators could hide and ambush these tiny birds. Because hummingbirds are highly territorial, space multiple feeders at least 10 to 15 feet apart. This allows multiple birds to feed without constantly fighting. Hang your feeder near nectar-rich flower beds, especially those with red or orange tubular flowers, like salvia or bee balm, to help the birds easily discover the food source. Always make your own sugar water. To 1 cup of water, add 1/4 cup of regular sugar and stir until completely mixed. Depending on your water source, you may want to boil the water first. Stir in the sugar and cool. Keep the feeder clean and fresh with nectar. Ants love to attack these feeders, You can use a small water reservoir above your feeder, especially made to fend off the ant. Many hummingbirds are only a couple of inches long and weigh less than a penny. They have amazing flying skills. They can hover, fly backwards, and upside down. While they hover or stay in one place in the air, they will drink nectar from plants and the feeder. The female hummingbird builds a tiny nest. It's not more than an inch and a half in diameter. Within their small size lies a fierce soul who will guard and defend their chosen nesting area. She may have buzzed us today because she felt we were getting too close to her nest or her feeder. Males defend and control their territory, initially through vocal warnings. If this does not deter an intruder, he will then continue to warn with aggressive flying and dives. If the intruder persists, a physical attack will take place. Yes, I said they were feisty. When I experience hummingbirds, I am in awe of their abilities, existing in such a tiny bird. Awe is a sense of wonder at an experience. Dasher Keltner, a professor of psychology at UC Berkeley, has been studying awe since 2003. His research has shown that awe can reduce stress, loneliness, and physical distress. Awe invites us to see that we are part of something much greater than ourselves. Awe is another reminder of the benefits of spending time with nature. Nature gives us many aha moments with awe and wonder. In July, we can plant some vegetables for our fall harvest, which would be about in October. Choose vegetables that you know that you and your family will eat. Some choices include beets, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, and collards. At the garden center, we found some beet seeds. Beet seeds will be a new adventure. According to NC State University, for North Carolina's climate, choose a bolt-resistant variety of beets to tolerate both fluctuating spring temperatures and summer humidity. Top performers for the region include Detroit Dark Red, Red Ace, F1, and Early Wonder Tall Top. Beets are nutritious and have several health benefits. A single cup of cooked beets offers a significant amount of folate, magnesium, potassium, and fiber. The nitrates in beets help widen blood vessels, significantly reducing systolic and diastolic blood pressure. Challenge yourself with a new vegetable to grow, such as our beets. Gives you something to look forward to, and it increases your knowledge of plants and nature. Planning ahead makes the task of planting easier. Create a plant label for your new row of beets, and bring a pitcher of water to the garden. Gather your seeds, your special seeding garden ruler and its dibble. You may also like knee pads for kneeling or a small gardening stool. Planting is an exciting activity. It's an expression of hope for the future. Let's begin. Beet seeds are like small bumpy pebbles. It's recommended to plant beet seeds 1 inch apart. We take out our specialized ruler with a dibble. A dibble is a small pointed stick. They often can be purchased along with the ruler. The ruler has holes at measured distances apart. The rulers come in a long or a square shape. I find the 12-inch long ruler easiest to control. We lay the ruler where we want to plant the beets, then poke the dibble into the pre-measured holes, forming about a 1-inch indent in the soil. Leaving the ruler in place, drop one seed in each hole, remove the ruler, and smooth the soil back over the area you just planted. Place a pre-made label in the ground at the end of your row and water your newly planted seeds. You can make your label in large print or braille. This has been a busy morning. There's a bench near the vegetable garden in a shady place. This is a good time and place for a sit spot. As we sit down, we notice the strong smell of pine trees from the forest park next to our garden. Another day, we will walk on the shaded paths through the wooded park. Forest therapy, or as it is sometimes referred to as forest bathing, or Shinrin-yoku, is an experience you won't want to miss. In June, we experienced an imaginary sit spot. Today is another opportunity to sit calmly, breathe deeply, and be with nature. It can be difficult to find a calm mind and body. Closing your eyes and breathing deeply in and out 3 times will help calm and relax you. Breathe in through your nose and out, softly whispering the ha sound. Then continue with normal breathing. Some tall bee balm is growing next to our sit spot. Slowly reach out and tap the flower with the back of your hand. That's to knock away any insects. Now carefully touch those delicate flowers and soft leaves with your hands. Skin is our largest organ, and touch is our largest sensory system. Research in Japan shows that touching a plant benefits our mental and physical well-being. They discovered that actively touching a leaf or plant has an unconscious calming and relaxing effect on us. When we touch a plant, it touches us back. And we're not only in nature, we are with nature. As we continue to sit, listen closely to all of the sounds around you. Then concentrate on one sound that you find interesting. I love birds, but the wind or the squirrels chittering or the insects chirping or even man-made sounds are there for you to realize. Tuning into the sounds of nature awakens us to our surroundings. We have run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. We hope you have enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Fran, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you.